TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
I always enjoy bringing you the latest. This is The Scoop.
The Scoop.
It's The Scoop with Doogie.
And away we go on this Wednesday afternoon, the 23rd of December. Hello, Scoop Podcast faithful. Happy holidays. This is Scoop Podcast episode 327. Some quick notes. My Glenn Taylor conversation from today. Then we will call it a podcast. This won't be my normal 90 minutes to 2 hours podcast. The A job, the main job, TV, is calling, but I want to make sure I get my Glenn Taylor interview posted before tip-off tonight. The Wolves opening their season against the Detroit Pistons at Target Center. Speaking of the Wolves, it looks like they are in for the G League bubble. Lindell Wigginton, remember him, played for the Iowa Wolves, was in the bubble in September that the Wolves had at Mayo Clinic Square. The Wolves are trying to bring him back. They would like him to play for them in the bubble. John Brebbia is a good reliever, or was at least in 2019 for the Cardinals. Had an injury, underwent a surgery. Anyway, Wes Johnson, the Twins pitching coach, talked to him. The Twins made a competitive offer, but he chose an offer from the Giants instead. It's a one-year deal, around $800,000, a major league deal. I'm told the Twins offered a major league contract. It was comparable to what San Francisco offered. It just happened that he chose the San Francisco Giants instead of the Twins. But it's a reminder that the Twins are looking for a reliever, maybe multiple relievers, maybe a high-end reliever, maybe like our guest from last week, Brad Hand, or Liam Hendricks, or somebody of that ilk, or maybe they trade for somebody like a Craig Kimbrell or somebody else, and they are looking for a lower-end reliever, somebody on a one-year deal for not a lot of money. They have some interest in Jake McGee, some others that fit that ilk. But John Brebbia was a guy they tried to sign and did not succeed. I keep hearing some interesting things about Alex Stalock, Wild's backup goalie, that it'll be a while. The Wild are calling it an upper body injury. I sense from a few people that would know that there's more to the story. I'm not in a position to announce everything right this second, but it's a storyline worth following. I wish Alex nothing but the best. Really good guy. Ran into him in the summer when I did a story on Rashad Bateman training at Adam Thielen's gym in Woodbury. Alex was there that day, caught up with Alex for a while. Jake Gensel was there that day. It was a great, great afternoon of just hanging out with a bunch of athletes. But Alex has just a heart of gold. So I wish Alex nothing but the best. Those same people tell me that they prefer Zach Parise as the next captain. It seemingly is down to Parise and Jared Spurgeon. If you had to make a betting favorite, you could make Spurgeon the betting favorite. But the people I've been in contact with prefer Parise. Captained the Devils when they made that run to the Stanley Cup Finals a handful of years ago, was the captain of Team USA in the Olympics a handful of years ago. Bottom line, he's just more vocal than Jared Spurgeon. When you think captain, Zach Parise exudes captaincy more so than Spurgeon, but I would not be shocked if Spurgeon ends up getting it. I'm talking this afternoon with Jamari Joyner. He's a transfer wide receiver from Arizona. Some pretty good stats the last couple years. The Gophers made him a scholarship offer, so I'm curious to hear his take on that. But yeah, the Gophers trying to get a pretty good transfer receiver from the University of Arizona. The Gophers tried to get offensive lineman from Benilde St. Margaret's by way of Harvard, Eric Wilson, but he chose a few weeks ago Auburn instead, but he is now open-minded, right? Auburn goes through the coaching change. Doesn't make sense to me why you would pay Gus Malzahn all that money to bring in the head coach from Boise just from afar. That is incredibly head-scratching, but nonetheless, Wilson is open-minded now. Doesn't know if he fits in a non-Gus Malzahn Tigers program, so he is certainly open-minded, hearing from some other schools, but certainly an interesting situation. I was curious, by the way, if Auburn had reached out to PJ Fleckenkamp just to see, not that PJ with his family situation would have moved to Alabama. I don't think that was ever going to happen, but I was curious if Auburn had interest. I was told the answer is no. Speaking of more to the story, Jarvis Omersa, the Gopher men's basketball team, announces a few days ago he is opting out of the season due to concerns over, you know, just the pandemic, the situation. I firmly believe there is a lot more to that story. So I will work on unearthing more. I've heard some stuff, but I'll work on trying to get some more information on that front. Congratulations to my buddy Frank Ragnow. Loved being at his draft party a couple years ago, the former Chanhassen High School star. His mom is a sweetheart, just a great, great family. He makes the Pro Bowl. The cool thing is that fans really didn't vote for him, even though the fans are part of the process. It was pretty much players and coaches that got him in. He is highly, highly thought of around the league, including here in Minnesota. The Vikings love Frank Ragnow. Remember, a couple drafts ago, he went pick 20. The Vikings got Mike Hughes like 10, 11 picks later. If Ragnow had fallen to them or even fallen just a few more spots, the Vikings would have moved up for Ragnow. They loved him in the pre-draft process. It just was tough to jump over Detroit. Detroit was locked in on Ragnow 20. So you really had to get to pick 19 or 18 to move up 13, 14 spots in the first round takes a ton of draft capital. So he just didn't fall far enough for the Vikings to move up. But make no mistake, Frank Ragnow is beloved by the Vikings. All right, let's now get to Glenn Taylor, Wolves and Lynx owner. I caught up with Glenn earlier today. Glenn, before we get to your team, just how are you doing personally and professionally? I mean, this year has been trying on literally everybody. Like, I'm trying to avoid hyperbole, Glenn, but literally everybody has been impacted by the pandemic one way or another. I think about two people near and dear to the Wolves family in the last few weeks, Sid Hartman, Tom Hanneman passing away. So I'm just curious, Glenn, before we get to your team, just how are you holding up?
Well, first of all, I've headquartered into my home. I have an office here in my home, so I'm working out of that every day. I'm back at work, you know, pretty much handling phone calls like what you were talking about. I mean, we have 70-some facilities, you know, and 10,000 employees and stuff like that there. So, the you know, people being ill and stuff is on the top of our list, how we're handling them and you know, taking care of. Thank goodness nobody from our company has died. We've had two people in the hospital, so most of ours, we've caught it early, gotten the care that they needed, and nothing serious. But, you know, besides that, as you indicated, we've had friends outside of business that have gotten it and have passed away and stuff like that. So it really kind of scares you a little bit and make sure that you're cautious. Our lives, Becky and my life, is really around our family. They come and go from our house, our kids, our grandkids. They come and go from our house. We haven't, you know, divided us that way. So we if they stop over, we do a lot of babysitting and cares, which we're doing today. I have three little kids here. So, and I just work it around my office, but business-wise, we've made a lot of tough decisions and stuff like that because it has affected my businesses differently. You know, some of them have done very well, and some of them, the sales are way down. But trying to take care of your employees is a big responsibility, and that's where sort of watching over our family and our employees.
And, I mean, even just, you know, one's mental well-being. Like, I think about Sid, right? I mean, you know this. I'm incredibly close with Chad. You know, Chad's told a lot of people that Sid didn't die directly from COVID, but like his life was so altered that Chad is convinced that a large reason why Sid left us was he couldn't go about his normal daily life.
Well, that's you're absolutely right. It just really changes it. I mean, that's why I'm saying a little bit. I'm kind of, you know, at work because I get up in the morning and come in here and work. Usually I work until 3 or 4 o'clock, you know, and doing the regular work, except that it's all people stuff, you know, what decisions that need to be made. And come out, you know, we lost some product lines, so we had to come up with some new product lines and stuff like that, help with the development of the marketing programs. And now those things I love to do, so it isn't all bad.
Yeah, and I mean, tonight is the start of yet another NBA season. Thankfully, you haven't lost the Wolves, so you still have the Wolves. Is this your, Glenn, correct me if I'm wrong, is this your 27th opening night as owner?
I don't know.
I mean, it's somewhere in that ballpark. Yeah, 26,
yeah,
27, but I guess
I think so. I mean, if it's 26, 27, 28, I'm not sure, but it's something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's somewhere in that vicinity. I mean, I guess here's the way I'll ask it. Is your excitement level for tonight's opener about the same as it was that first opening night?
Oh, no. No, this is not as fun. You know, not being there, I'm not going to go up to the game tonight because they've got so many things they're trying to be careful. The league has got so many restrictions on them, and if I went to the game, it would be, you know, I know they'd take care of me. I know they'd do all the things they needed to do. But I just told Ethan and Steph that you guys just prepare for the game and don't worry about me. Take care of who you have to take care of. Well, that takes away a lot of the excitement of not being there. I mean, you know, I have those special seats, but right by the players and the coaches, and I always, part of our the game is talking to them. Part of the game is I always came up and met with some customers before the game, and you might say entertain them or talk to, with them or visited with them. So, you know, the day was a much bigger day than this one's going to be for a starter. But it's going to be different. I'm going to be watch, and I'm going to be hopeful.
Is there hope, speaking of being hopeful, that at some point, Glenn, like you guys playing Utah here in the coming days, Utah is one of a few franchises that can have some fans in the building. Is there some hope before the season is over that you guys will be able to welcome back some fans to Target Center?
Yeah, I think the thing that's hard for me to answer is because that's sort of dictated by politics. I mean, you know, the governor makes the decision of which places you can be, and so this is not an NBA situation. So I think there's 7 or 8 teams tonight that are going to go ahead and have some level of fan base just because they can in those states. So I have to wait until, until the governor and those people that are responsible feel that it might be appropriate to have an indoor event like this. So it's not even my decision at this point.
Do you guys, though, have a plan in place that you feel comfortable with if the green light is given eventually?
We do. I mean, I have a great staff over there, and they have thought about all the alternatives and stuff. So when it does, you know, we'll start small and make sure that we're doing it right and then just try to grow. I mean, if you ask me right now, I'd like the second half of the season to be one in which we have people in attendance.
Is it playoffs or bust? And when I say that, Glenn, with the play-in tournament now, the 9 seed, the 10 seed, I mean, I guess I personally consider that to some extent the playoffs. So, I mean, is the expectation to at least get the number 10 seed?
Well, you're asking different people. I guess they'll get you different answers, but that's mine. I know that there's in our division that there's a bunch of teams out there with more veteran players than our players and more seasoned, and they're really good teams. But we have a young team. But I just have the high expectation that without injuries or illness, you know, that when you look around, I know it's going to be tough, but my expectations are is that somehow we make it into the playoffs. And then once you make the playoffs, who knows?
I mean, I look at it, Glenn, that yeah, you guys are the youngest team in the league, but, like, Jaden McDaniels isn't a rotation guy. You know, some of the younger guys aren't really rotation guys. When you look at it, your core, I mean, Kat's in the prime of his career. Russell's in the prime of his career. Ricky Rubio still hopefully is in the prime of his career. Like, a lot of guys that will be playing tonight do have experience.
I think the only thing that works against them a little bit is they haven't played together as much as some of the other teams have.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we should, maybe it makes it start out a little slower, but they should, I mean, they're professionals. They should get over that relatively soon and get, you know, I think all the teams are probably a little bit not in condition as they would like to be because of the shortened preseason.
What sort of expectations are realistic for Karl-Anthony Towns, Glenn? I mean, he's dealt with so much grief. He admitted to us in a Zoom call a few weeks ago that it's going to be hard to play, but he is choosing to play. Last time I checked, Glenn, you're compensating him incredibly fairly. So there has to be some level of expectation when you're paying him that much money. But dealing with so much grief, like, I'm having a hard time figuring out what are realistic expectations for Towns.
Well, I understand his situation and with the family and stuff like that, but I just think that, you know, individuals, you got to be strong enough. I mean, if you're at any type of work and, you know, you're going to have that concern of a death in the family and stuff like that, and it's a big level, but, you know, we all are expect expected to sort of divide those things into support, and I think the team is supporting him in that area. In turn, he's got teammates. He's got other people that are relying on him, too. So I'm hopeful that he has the strength within to come in and recognize that he's a professional, and when he's with the team, he's out there to give it his utmost. I really think he will. I just think this, and probably basketball getting into the league will be good for him in the sense that you can concentrate your mind on other things and you don't concentrate it on solely the deaths in the family all the time.
And I'm sure Glennie wants to turn around, you know, the reputation, not from everybody, but from some, that he doesn't play much defense, that he's not an all-NBA type center. But then there are some of us that say, of course he's an all-NBA type center. So now it's on him to demonstrate that, to be one of the best centers in the league, and hopefully lead you guys to the playoffs, because I'm sure, Glenn, he wants to make the playoffs again.
Well, I know he does. I mean, that's what we talk about. So I know he does, and he's an elite player, and I think it's we want him to have the consistency every night to come and be that elite player, so that other teams have to double team him just to try to slow him down. I think that we need him to be fit in with the team on defense and stuff like this here, because he has the ability to get in front of guys and just slow them down without following him. I mean, right now one of the problems is that he gets his two fouls so quickly that he gets taken out of the game and stuff like that. That really hurts the team. It hurts our plans and stuff like that. So, my expectations are very high of him, and I'm confident that he'll deliver.
Are you curious to see how the synergy works between him and D'Angelo Russell? I mean, it was only one game last year, Glenn. It was that game in Toronto that they played together. So we know how close they are, but they've only played one regular season game together. You did the great thing of going into the luxury tax. I don't think a lot of people in your position, I'm not just saying this, tooting your horn because you're on the phone with me, but I think some owners would have said, yeah, I'm not, with this roster, with where we are record-wise, I'm not going into the luxury tax. But you went into the luxury tax last February to bring in D'Angelo. Just how much are you just looking forward to D'Angelo and Cat coexisting?
I'm really looking forward to that. I just think we know that Cat's going to get double-teamed, and that's just ideal for us, is then he can feed it out to somebody like that who's a very good shooter and to open it up. Also, I think Ricky can be very helpful when he's in there, too, of giving Cat easier shots, just because he just has this knack of finding the open guy. So I think, there's a couple of things here that we should do better on and supporting each other, and I think it's not all up to Cat, but I think that he'll have a supporting cast here that'll help him.
When Ricky Rubio is on the court with Cat, I can bet that Cat will get some easy looks, some easy bucket opportunities. How happy are you that Ricky Rubio is back?
Yeah, I think he'll help a bunch of the guys. I think one of the things we lacked was guys cutting to the basket and going in and getting that easy shot, and I think Ricky, he did that for us before, and he'll do that again. He just has that sense of when a guy, takes off and heads for the basket to get the ball at the right place. And I think even probably more important, the other guys will recognize that if they'll work for that and keep moving, that Ricky will reward them.
How crazy was the pre-draft process? I mean, all that time building up to the number one pick, you guys could have gone in so many different directions, but you end up with Anthony Edwards. Heck, Glenn, he reclassified. Like, he should be, he's an August birthday, but he should be in college right now. He should be a college freshman. So I don't think we should have, like, enormous expectations right from the get-go. Physically, he's already got an NBA body, but I'm curious to see how it shakes out with him. And then, watching James Wiseman last night, he looks really good. Watching preseason with LaMelo Ball, he looks really good. It'll be interesting to follow all these rookies.
Yeah, I think it really will, because it was just a small group of them that were all kind of equal and stuff like this. They played different positions, they played different ways and stuff like that. Our guys kind of honed in on rookie here quite early, and it had a lot of it had to do with his personality. They really loved his personality and his willingness to talk about defense and get in there and stick his nose in. And then I think his physical, you know, just physically how he's built and stuff like that, it appears that he's got muscles and stuff probably for a man that's older than he really is. So they thought there was upside, and that should be very helpful. They loved his personality. I'd love to say that I know more about him. I don't. My only interaction with him is over the phone, and that's a hard way to, you know, to make judgment.
You're right, though. I mean, physically, he looks like an NFL linebacker. I mean, he's, what, 19, and he weighs 230 pounds. Like, he is a monster. Just, he looks like Hercules.
Well, you know, I don't know if the body built is quite the same, but, you know, some of the people in the league said that, you know, he might be a Dwayne Wade type of person that, you know, isn't real tall, isn't real short, but just can do everything, you know, pretty well. But we'll just have to see if he matures into that type of an individual.
Yes, if he gets to that level, Glenn, you will be, seriously, I'm not just joking when I say this. Like, if he gets to the Dwayne Wade level, you guys will be having a parade down First Avenue at some point.
Well, he just fills in that area there that you'd have a person that you could rely on, and that when whoever gets double teamed, I mean, they can't double team too many of them, and somebody's going to be wide open. I mean, that's one of the things that we have to learn to do, is to get our shots when we're wide open. You look at some of the other teams and how well they do against us on threes and stuff, but if you note, you know, we don't have somebody right in their face. You know, I mean, they're wide open when they shoot, which is a lot easier shot than this shot when somebody's guarding you fairly close. And so there's room for improvement for our team to play defense in that area.
As well as you know, Gerson, is it safe to say that this roster is still unfinished, whether it's a power forward, maybe it's a different position, but probably power forward, that he's still on the phone, you know, trying to make some moves?
Well, he's still on the phone and looking, and he always will be that way. It doesn't mean that he's going to do too many of the ones that he looks into, but he's curious enough, and he's out there stroking the other leadership at the other teams and just seeing if there's something there where they have a need and we can fill it, and yet, you know, get that right person to make us stronger. But I mean, he's pretty close to what he needs here. He's got a lot of young guys.
Yeah, and you're right about the right person, emphasis on the right person. Like, there is reportedly a very, very good player, a future Hall of Famer, a superstar that is available, that is attainable right now. He plays in the Western Conference, but I don't know if it would make sense to bring in a guy like that where he needs to be the alpha, you know, when you have Cat and D'Angelo.
You're right. Not all players, even though no matter how good they are going to fit in with our team, and that's the one thing that Gerson's got to evaluate the people to make sure that they fit in our system, and that it overall makes big improvement. We just don't need another guy to shoot. We got some pretty good shooters on this team.
Agree. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Okay, Glenn,
it's probably defense that it's
not probably it
know,
is right.
Defense, we just got to learn to play better as a team.
Yeah, I mean, offensively, you're fine. It's all about defense, isn't it, Glenn?
Well, right now, let's just see what our guys do. But right now, when I watched them in the preseason, you can see that, you know, we have room to play defense better than what we're doing in, you know, these three games that we had in practice. So hopefully we'll see that tonight.
Glenn, as you probably can tell, I need help in a lot of areas, but specifically on Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, I was disappointed to see him let go. Can you explain the rationale behind that decision?
Well, mostly it had to do where we were with our roster and the pay and all those things. So he came in, he did really a nice job. We really liked him and stuff like this here. But if we, you know, we came in and signed him, then we'd have the roster. We wouldn't have any room for any movement at all. And I just think that you want to go into this year leaving a little bit of flexibility to see if you get some injuries or something like that, that you can bring in somebody to fill it. And I don't mind that they left one opening. I mean, we can still go out and get him and bring him back.
Sure.
At least now we still have the alternatives. If Carl gets hurt and stuff and we need a center, we could also go get a center.
All right,
to do with kind of an insurance policy. That,
sure.
He did well. We could have, I watched him too, and I was pleased with what he did too. But I understand why they did what they did.
Yeah, I mean, it offers, I mean, I guess the key word there is flexibility. Speaking of flexibility, is that a fair way to summarize kind of where things stand on your front with taking phone calls, listening to potential, people to come in and buy?
I understand. You're correct, and you understand.
Yeah, so, you could. I mean, if we talk 1 year from now, Glenn, Christmas of 2021, let's all hope that there's some sense of normalcy that's back in all of our lives with the vaccine moving forward, that you could still be majority owner 1 year from now.
Oh, yeah, there's probably a good possibility that could happen.
Yeah, so just one of those deals where, you're doing your due diligence. Is that a fair way to say it? That in your position, the phone rings, of course you're going to listen.
And part of it is just because of my age and stuff like this here. I think it's just good for me to understand what's in the best interest of our ownership and what's best for the Timberwolves in Minnesota.
Are you surprised that David Vanterpool, he's interviewed for so many head coaching jobs, that somebody hasn't pulled the trigger on hiring David?
It'll happen. He's a great guy.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the benefit is he's still here helping you guys.
Yeah.
Hopefully he gets these guys to play the defense that he's communicating on with you. It's when, not if. Speaking of when, not if, is it when, not if you guys will have a sponsor for your jersey? Last year it was Fitbit.
I'm working on that. I don't, hopefully we can get somebody soon.
And then your TV contract is up after the season two at Fox Sports North?
Yep. So there's some big decisions to be made.
Yeah, I mean, how involved are you in those decisions? Like, I would think that's a big one that you are, all over.
Well, there's some really good guys. We got some guys from the NBA that help us with that.
And then I'll leave you with this. The Bucks penalty on Bogdanovich. Are you kidding me, Glenn? A second-round pick? And they're going to be really good. Like, that second-round pick is going to be at the end of the draft.
No comment, Doogie.
Yeah, I didn't get it based on...
I can't get into somebody else's business.
I know. I don't get it, Glenn. I really don't. But I'm pumped. Maybe it's just, just our lives, right? Like, there's not a lot we can do. So just to have the escape of watching you guys tonight, having League Pass, watching other games, watching the two games last night. Like, Glenn, this to me is a day to celebrate. If such a thing exists in this crazy year, I would like to think I can celebrate the opening of the NBA season.
Well, I think you can.
Glenn, always appreciate your time. Merry Christmas to you and Becky and the rest of your family. Happy New Year. Have a happy and healthy New Year, and I'll certainly be in touch.
And to you and your loved ones, the same.
Thank you, Glenn. Enjoy tonight.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Wolves owner Glenn Taylor. I still think it'll be interesting to watch the situation in Philadelphia. Daryl Morey isn't doing anything super soon. He wants to see this thing out a little bit with them bringing in Danny Green, Seth Curry. Can Doc Rivers make it work? Maybe it does. Maybe the Sixers get off to a phenomenal start the next 4 to 6 weeks and they run this thing through with their current roster. If not, does James Harden end up in Philly? Ben Simmons would have to be part of that package. Does Houston want Simmons? If not, could you reroute Simmons here? Route some stuff, some young pieces to Houston? I just think it's an interesting situation to keep an eye on. There is nothing imminent on that front. There is nothing cooking locally on that front. But I do think it is worth keeping an eye on just what takes place eventually with James Harden. All right. Happy holidays, everyone. Always appreciate you listening. That will wrap up Scoop Podcast episode 327. If I'm not back next week, have a happy and healthy New Year. Stay safe. Stay sane.